This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Senator Amy Klobuchar is one of the loudest voices pushing to curb the power of big tech, and she says the time for regulation is now. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference, the Democratic senator from Minnesota said the Journal's Facebook files investigation and the whistleblower Frances Haugen have boosted the push for change.
This is our big year, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that people started lifting the hood and looking at the effect on real people.
On today's show, we'll have highlights from her conversation with Ryan Knutson, co-host of the Journal podcast. That's after these headlines. PayPal is in talks to buy the social media platform Pinterest, according to people familiar with the matter. The talks are still in early stages and may not lead to a deal, but if it does go through, the acquisition would take PayPal in a new direction, potentially giving the digital payments company a bigger role in customer shopping experience. It would also be a large deal. Pinterest has a market value of about $40 billion. Facebook was fined roughly $70 million by the UK. The country's Competition and Markets Authority has been overseeing Facebook's deal to acquire Giphy, the provider of animated GIFs, which it announced last year. Regulators said Facebook breached reporting requirements for the merger review. Facebook called the allegation a mischaracterization and said it's seeking standard exceptions to some of the rules. WSJ's Sam Schechner, who covers tech in Europe, says it reflects the tense regulatory environment that Facebook is facing.
Already in the EU and in the UK, competition regulators are really zeroing in on big tech companies. There are a number of open investigations into them. In fact, the CMA and the EU's top antitrust authority, the European Commission, have opened an official case into Facebook's marketplace and dating services for alleged abuse of dominance, something Facebook denies. And there's cases looking into other companies. Beyond just enforcement of antitrust rules as they are in the books, there's a growing push to update laws, both about competition, but also about online content. And those moves have actually gotten a big push lately from the revelations from Frances Haugen, the so-called Facebook whistleblower. She's testified before U.S. Congress, and she's scheduled to appear Monday before the U.K.'s Parliament.
And in the U.S., the Attorney General in Washington, D.C. filed a motion to add Mark Zuckerberg as a defendant to a 2018 lawsuit stemming from the Cambridge Analytica scandal. The lawsuit accuses Facebook of misleading its users about privacy and security of their personal data. The AG's office said it was the first time a U.S. regulator has specifically named Zuckerberg, Facebook's CEO, in a complaint. Facebook spokesman Andy Stone called the allegations meritless and said the company will continue to defend itself. And speaking of Facebook, lawmakers in the U.S. have taken a renewed interest in the social media giant following the WSJ's Facebook files investigation. One of them, Senator Amy Klobuchar, laid out her priorities during our Tech Live event. We'll have that after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar has been one of the most outspoken lawmakers when it comes to addressing the power of big tech. She's a co-author, sponsor, and supporter of a number of bills that would limit what large tech firms could do, how big they could get, and increase their liability for what happens on their platforms. During the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live event, she spoke with the co-host of the Journal podcast, Ryan Knutson. Here are highlights from that conversation, starting with Ryan.
I wanted to start with your reaction to the Wall Street Journal's recent investigative series and Frances Haugen, the Facebook whistleblower's recent testimony, which you, of course, attended. What was your reaction when the Wall Street Journal started publishing those stories in September?
My reaction was finally, and not in terms of the Wall Street Journal, but finally, this issue of dominance and the need to protect not only kids, but consumers was put in a light that seems real to people. And it was the work, the fine reporting and the revealing of the documents and the testimony of the whistleblower who knew what she was talking about. Even though there were attempts to undermine her by the company, I think she really gained the trust of the lawmakers and she gained the trust of the public. And it just opened up a whole new world for people seeing this. And the final thing I'll say about it is parents. I just did a Zoom call with a bunch of parents. And I think for them, it was cathartic because they feel so alone. They're trying to get their kids off the platforms. Now they find out with some of the recent reporting that Instagram was trying to keep these kids on 3 to 4 hours a day and bemoan the fact when it goes to less than 3 to 4 hours a day.
One of the things that Frances Haugen talked about in her testimony that the Wall Street Journal reported was that for 1 in 3 teen girls, that Instagram makes body image issues worse. What kind of a regulation can even tackle a problem like that?
Number one, privacy law, I think, helps just generally. It changes the rules of the game. Parents can opt out of having their data used. It just changes the way the whole thing's organized, a strong law. Secondly, the kids' rules, the Online Privacy Act, improving that to include 13 to 15-year-olds and put in some more rules of the road of what kids can be exposed to and what advertisements they can receive. Third, competition policy. So allowing competition in the marketplace, new entrants to get in. And then finally, the algorithms that are really promoting what I think can be very, very difficult content for parents would be another thing to look at.
Well, let's talk about the algorithm. As you know, obviously Section 230 protects tech companies from the content that their algorithms promote. It protects them from all content that gets posted on their platforms. How do you think Section 230 needs to change?
Well, I have suggested some focus changes to it. But it is possible we'll have to go even bigger unless we find other ways to fix this. As you know, what that means is they can't be sued. And the way I describe this to people is if you yell fire in a crowded theater, that's not protected speech. If there's a stampede, the theater probably won't be sued unless there's problems with their entries and getting out of there. If the theater decides to use speakers and have it broadcast what the person is saying or whatever misinformation they're putting out there to all of their theaters deliberately, and then problems develop or there's a stampede because someone's yelling fire and it's broadcast in a 12 multiplex, they'd be sued. Right now, these social media companies aren't putting that content on themselves, but they are broadcasting that content. And here's the key, making money off of it because that's how they get more money from polarized speech, targeted things. So the argument would be you could do it by type of speech. I've suggested at least for vaccine misinformation, Senator Ben Ray Lujan and I have a bill to do this, that you shouldn't have immunity if that's getting amplified. We're not talking here about people's comments. We're talking about the money they make amplifying it, or if they are amplifying it. Senator Warner and Hirono and I have a bill that gets to discriminatory speech and those kinds of things. But, you know, you could, if I think there's more and more interest I've heard in the hallways, I will say, and from senators on both sides of the aisle on a more blanket getting rid of the Section 230 immunity.
So as you imagine changes to Section 230, do you see it tailored to just to social media companies, or do you see changes coming to Section 230 that would cover all tech companies writ large?
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on that right now because my changes have been very narrow, the ones I've suggested. But the more the time goes on, I'm not the only one that starts wondering if we should not just have the narrow changes. I'm not talking about what platforms necessary it applies to, but at least what the breadth of the lifting of the immunity is.
I want to turn to antitrust and to competition. We've been talking a lot about Facebook, so I want to stay with Facebook for just a moment. You've said in the past that breaking up Facebook needs to be on the table. The Facebook whistleblower, Frances Haugen, has said that she doesn't think that breaking up Facebook is a good idea. Where do you stand on that now?
I think when you just heard break up a company, I think that, you know, that can sound like you're trying to demolish a company. Far from it. And she, you know, makes a good case of why you want some established companies in the marketplace. Now, I agree with that. What I'm talking about here is over time, when you look at, like, say, AT&T, you can call it a breakup or not, but when you divest assets, and by the way, it happens all the time in competition policy, merging companies come before the government. And of course, this is too late now in the Instagram case, doesn't mean it can be looked at again when we look back. And the merging companies say, okay, we know there's not any competition here in this area if we merge. And then they agree to divest a certain part of their company if they're going to merge, not make the company go away, not blow the company up, but simply divest them of assets. And I think that's a legal decision to be made.
A lot of tech companies right now are talking about how tech regulations ought to be regulated. As I'm sure you've seen, Facebook has been running ads all over the place saying that it's time to update the nation's tech laws. What areas do you think Facebook and you agree?
Okay, well, they support my Honest Ad Act. I know that they didn't at first, but then they did for disclaimers and disclosures on political ads. They one of the things they've said is, well, yeah, we can look at changing some immunity or doing some things if, as long as we meet certain standards and do certain things. And that really was a red light to me. You know, that's that way of looking at it. Oh, we just cross some boxes and dot some I's and cross some T's and then we're okay. I think we've got to have more accountability than that. But they clearly are opening the conversation, but we've had a lot of conversations and salons on these topics. You know, it's time to actually get some bills passed.
Well, yeah. When do you think we will get some bills passed on technology regulation?
In the U.S. Senate, we've gotten through the Klobuchar-Grassley bill for more resources for the agencies. Secondly, a venue bill that was broad bipartisan support, that's Lee Klobuchar, that allows the state AGs to keep their suits in their own states so that they don't get delayed by the tech companies sending them all over the country. There's an app store bill that is very important for competition on app stores. And so all these things are happening at once. So this is the first breakthroughs that we have had when I've been doing this for, I think, about 10 years. This is our big year. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that people started lifting the hood and looking at the effect on real people. And that's part of what the whistleblower did, that this isn't just big company versus big company. These are real people and it's our democracy at stake here.
Well, Senator Klobuchar, thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks to everybody who tuned in on Twitter.
It was a lot of fun, Ryan. Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.